the Bible say about this? And so, of course, we base our life upon the scriptures, upon the readings of God's word. And so while you'll never find in the Bible, you'll never find thou shalt not celebrate Halloween. You won't find it. You know, sometimes we want the scriptures to be black and white for us, right? We want it to say, God, you can't do this specific sin. But other times he gives us examples and he says, look, I want you to be led by the Spirit of God. How many of you guys know that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us? Amen. And that he leads us and he guides us into all truth. And so this is where I want to come from today. The fact that that we are to be led by the Holy Spirit in this event. Amen. And so as Christians, I'm not going to say yes or no. What I'm saying is being led by the Spirit of God. Bring glory unto God because we live to bring glory unto him. Amen. And so if you are, here's the thing. If you are questioning something, that could be Halloween, that could be Mardi Gras, it could be you fill in the blank, and you're wondering, should I be participating in this? A good inclination is, why are you asking? Or like, here's the line, like here's the sin line. How close to the sin line can I get as a believer? You know, whenever God says to shun the very appearance of evil. And so we have to honestly self-evaluate ourselves and say, am I just trying to see how much I can get away with? I mean, our kids do it all the time, right? Our kids are masters of trying to get away with as much as they possibly can. It's in our nature. And so it is. And so I would just urge you, and as I get through this message, that you would pray about everything that you do. Maybe you have some family traditions that were passed on to you. Pray about these things and ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether or not this is honoring unto God. Amen. So we're going to jump into the text this morning. And while we don't find the exact, an exact story that matches this, we find something that happens in the church of Corinth. So the issue became they were offering food to idols. And the Christian church was wondering, is it acceptable for us to eat the food that was offered to idols? Is this okay? Should believers be taken apart in something that has secular roots and has pagan roots? Should believers have any part of this? And so I want to give you a scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And we're going to start off with this. It says, so whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen. Whatever you do. Amen. In all that you do, let all things bring glory unto God. Amen. And so whether you guys, you may have a job, you may have kids, you may be a mother who raises children. Let all that you do be done for the glory of God. Now, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you want to turn your Bibles there, it's just a couple of chapters beforehand. And we're going to look at this. And so what happened was you had this church in Corinth, and it was a young church. Paul was preaching the gospel. People were being saved, and this, you had the beginnings of this new church. Well, in Corinth, there was idolatry everywhere. There was sexual immorality everywhere. And so these new believers, they still had pagan friends. They still had pagan associates, and oftentimes they would invite them over to a meal. And so the new Christian has these questions. Is this right? Does this make me unclean? First of all, let's just establish the fact. How are we clean? How are we saved? What makes us saved as believers? Anybody know? By the blood of the Lamb, amen? By faith in Jesus Christ, that's what makes us clean. That's what makes us saved. In fact, in other scriptures, Jesus would say, it's not what comes into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart. And so it's always an issue of the heart that Jesus is looking at. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, He does not yet know as he ought to know. How many guys can say, we don't know all things? Amen. And I can honestly say, I do not know all things. As a pastor, I do not know everything. I do not know the mind of God fully. And if you were to come up here and say that you do, you're a liar. Because God cannot be fully known in these bodies. Amen. Not one day we will see him face to face and we will know him fully. We will see him eye to eye. We will be in his presence. We will know him fully, and that should excite you. But right now, we see in part. We know in part. Amen? And so, continuing, he says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, do we have anyone in this place who loves God? He is known by God. Amen? So if anyone loves God, then you are known by God. I love my kids. They are known by me. I know them. I know them by name. I know their interests. I know what they like. I know their talents and their abilities. I know them. Verse 4, therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. So Paul's like, first of all, he says, you know, it's not about the food. It's not about, you know, the celebrations. It's not about all these things. This, you know, this idol is nothing. It's nothing. There is no other God but one God. This idol is only an image made by man. And we know throughout the history of the Israelites that this has always tripped them up. Like they always fell into the sin of idolatry. They would make a golden calf and they would dance around it and worship the golden calf. Something they made with their hands. And because of that, God would often always judge his people. And so this, we're not going to take the sin of idolatry lightly. Paul is not excusing idolatry. He's not saying it's okay to worship idols. He's not saying that. But what is he talking to right now? The very specific thing. He is talking about the food that is being offered to the idol. He says, it's nothing. It's nothing. Now, we see this in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. It says, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so one of the things that we want to keep in mind as we go through this are my actions loving God. Are my actions displaying the love of God in my life? Because the very first and foremost thing that we should be doing as Christians, as believers in Christ, is loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Does my life, does the things that I project from my life display the love of God? Secondly, do the things that I display in my life, whether it's decorations or whether it's whatever, the music, whatever, is it displaying that I love my neighbor? And so this becomes the issue. This where it becomes real. Because he continues, Paul does, in verse 5, he says, for although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through the former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So what is he saying? He's saying, food is nothing. The idol is nothing because there is only one God in heaven and on earth. But the problem comes because these new converts who used to worship idolatry, you know, who used to worship idols and fell into the sin of idolatry, now whenever they eat of the food, they remember their veneration to these idols. They remember in their hearts. And so as they're eating, they're doing it in honor of these idols. Again, it brings you back to this heart issue, right? It brings you back to where is your heart? And so for them, it says, look, their conscience is weak. And so they're acting against their conscience. They're acting against it. And because of that reason, it is sin. Now we know, as believers, whenever we are saved, whenever we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He comes to live on the inside of us, right? He shows us what is right. He shows us what is wrong. He convicts us of sin. How many guys have ever been convicted of sin? As soon as you did something, you feel almost like the Holy Spirit kind of lifts off your life, like, oh man, I really messed up, right? I really messed up that time, and you pray. That's the Holy Spirit wooing you back. He draws you back. He gets you back in line. Amen. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, but because these particular people, whenever they would eat the food, they did it in veneration to the idols. To them, it became sin. Now, keep in mind that we are to walk in love towards God and love towards one another. Continuing in verse 8, it says, food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat it, and we are no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now we see the problem. Whenever your freedom causes another brother or another sister to fall in Christ, then that becomes sin. And the Bible says you don't only sin against that person, but you sin against Christ. And so for me, I would not want to cause another brother or sister to stumble. I would not say, oh, well, Pastor Ted did all this, and so surely I can do all this. You know, Pastor Renee, he used to always say this. He would always say, you know, what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess, right? It's so true. And so, oh, but so-and-so did this, but maybe I can do this even greater, right? And so before you know it, the very person that Christ came to die for, there is now ruined because of the things that you have allowed in your life. That's the issue when it becomes sin. So looking at this again, it says, for if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? Are you not encouraging others to participate in idolatry? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So you see how this whole thing is geared towards loving God and loving others. And so we have to ask ourselves, when we're setting up decorations, and I run a lot, right? I run a ridiculous amount. And so I run around the neighborhoods, and I see all these Halloween decorations, and I see all these different things. And as a believer, I want you to ask yourself, if Jesus were to step on my property, would he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Isn't that what we live for? Isn't that what we want to hear in our lives? Don't we live for the glory of God? Don't we live to make Christ famous? I have a picture, you know, of just some things that we might see during this season. Am I displaying the love of God towards their life to say that? Amen. I'm not going to make the choice for you. I'm not going to say, thus says the Lord, you shall not do this. I'm going to let the Lord speak into your life because I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that He is able to speak to each and every one of you. And so if you have a question about, I don't know if I should be setting this up, ask Him and He'll tell you. He'll let you know. He'll let you know right away whether or not this is God-honoring, whether this is something that should be in your life as a believer. I'm not God, amen? So In Matthew 15, verse 11, it says, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Jeremiah 17, 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So everything that we do, God is looking at our hearts, you know, and that's what we are judged by. We are judged by our hearts. Amen. Amen. So questions to ask yourself, am I loving God by what I'm displaying in my life during this time of year? Am I loving others by my actions during this time of year? Is what I'm doing God honoring? Would God be pleased with my decorations? Is what I'm doing causing someone to stumble or fall? Is there anything about Halloween that Christians should not partake of? Am I just trying to justify my actions by denying my conscience? So, again, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to make you make your own decision. I'm just going to present the Word of God and trust that God is able to speak. Amen? Amen. So, Ephesians 5, verse 11 says this. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We are to expose them. We are not to take parts of things of darkness. So Paul, as he's addressing this issue about whether or not it's okay to eat food offered to idols, he continues his discourse in chapter 10. If you go to chapter 10, verse 18 through 22, it says this, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Whoa. That puts us in our place right there. Who's in charge? He is in charge, right? We're not in charge. He calls the shots, not us. He makes the rules, not us. He says what is good, what is righteous, not us. Amen? We cannot, as believers, we cannot partake of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. One more passage, real quickly. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 9, it says, and as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servants of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And will he be upheld? And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. I'm going to read that again because it's so good. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. You should be fully convinced that whatever you set up in your yard, that is Christ-honoring, Christ-glorifying, you're not going to feel any guilt about it. You should be fully convinced in what you do. If you have any doubt at all, it's probably God saying, yeah, that it's time for that thing to go. It's time to maybe move on, right? Be fully convinced. Have the peace of God on the inside. If anything is robbing your peace this season, bring it before the Lord. Amen. He continues. He says, for none of us live to himself and none of us die to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. Amen. So, whenever you first got saved, whenever Christ came into your heart, what are some things that took place? You became new, right? You put aside the old man. You put aside that old self. You put aside those selfish desires. You said, from this day forward, I'm living for Jesus, right? The world behind me and the cross before me, that is where I'm headed, amen? I'm headed towards heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord, right? And so I have no participation with demons. I have no participation with wickedness. I'm on the way to heaven, amen? I'm set apart. Now, what are some other things that you begin to do as you were saved? Perhaps there were some CDs that you used to listen to. Back in the day, we had CDs. I know y'all don't have CDs anymore. But young people, there was this thing. It was like a little disc, and you had CDs on it. And we played music. And so there was some music that had to be destroyed and maybe thrown off of a bridge. And you could probably still find them there today. But whatever is the case, you said, no, I don't want this junk in my life anymore because it's not producing life. I found the author of life. I found Jesus. And he is so much better than this filth that I have allowed in my heart. He is so much better. And so we parted ways with things of darkness. Amen. Perhaps you threw those cigarettes down the drain. Perhaps you drank, you grabbed that alcohol and said, it has to go. Perhaps you, every relationship that was unhelpful and unhealthy, you said, no more. I'm a child of God. And so there comes this separation. There comes this saying, I am set apart now. Amen? The book of Acts, we find the same thing in Acts chapter 9, verse 18 to 20. There were some witches who got saved, who had an encounter with Jesus. And in verse 18, it says, also many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Come on, man. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. That's what I'm looking for, amen? Radical change. I'm looking for people to say, you know what? This is no longer fulfilling. I found Jesus. Jesus is so much better, amen? Amen. And so, obviously, there are things about Halloween that we have to say, no more. Witches. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, you know what they did to witches? Burn them. Burn them. They got rid of them. Why? Because they were God's people. They had no affiliation with witches and demons and darkness of this world. As a Christian, you should not have any participation with demons and darkness of this world. There are things about Halloween that just needs to go. Human sacrifices were also affiliated with Halloween. Idolatry. Greed, you know, we teach our kids, go ahead and grab as much candy as you can from that one. Then go to the next one and grab as much candy as you can from that one. Then go to the next one and grab as much as you can. And then they're like pushing each other off. Hey, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. Is that the work of Christ? Is that the love of Christ? Is that loving one another? But yet we instill this into our kids at a very young age and say, it's okay. It's okay, just grab as much as you want. It's the American way. Maybe not God's way, right? God's way is completely different than the American way. But we push all these principles and we push our kids. And so definitely God is against greed, amen? So there are things that you would have to honestly look at and say, you know what, is this God honoring? God, are you pleased with my life? Are you satisfied? Is my life reflecting your glory? Am I loving you? Am I loving others by what I'm displaying in my life? That's the question you have to ask and you have to answer. Amen. I hope that you would be as the witches in the book of Acts, that you would say, you know what? This is no longer satisfying. I found Christ. And you would be willing to part with things of darkness, part with things that are bring no life. Amen. And so if you were to take all those things away, if we're looking at Halloween and we say, okay, well, definitely witches got to go, you know, anything, you know, with the dead, celebrating the dead has to go. What is left? I believe if you come tonight to the harvest celebration, you will see a healthy celebration. Amen. You will see believers coming together in love, having a good time. You know, I believe you can still have a good time as a believer. You can still have fun and kick it for the Lord. Amen. There's going to be hay rides and games and food and fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We encourage you to do those things. We encourage you to be a part of community, be a part of the family of God. Amen. There's going to be candy for the kids, but we're not going to like promote greed. Amen. There's going to be a self-control in that aspect. Amen. Even for the adults. I probably have to speak to the adults, huh, about the candy, robbing your kids. Y'all know y'all rob your kids from their candy. But so what is left after all these things are taken away? What is left? Is it God honoring? And that's the goal. That's the heart of the sermon. That our lives and all that we do, not just Halloween, in all that we do, is it honoring unto the Lord? Are we walking in love to Him? Are we walking in love one towards another? And so I encourage you to examine your life and just ask God, be willing to put it before the Lord. Be willing to say, God, what about this? God, what about this? God, what about this? Because Pastor Ted is not the Holy Spirit. And what we do not want to do is we do not want to act against our conscience. We do not want to act. If the Holy Spirit is saying, get apart from this, you don't need this, you don't want to be the person that says, no, I just love it too much. I just want to embrace it. He's my pana, right? We don't want to be that person. We say, God, oh, you asked me to lay that down? God, your ways are better. What you offer is so much better. Whenever I had to let go of my friends who were, you know, whenever I first got saved, the Lord has added to me real friends, real brothers in Christ, real people, real men of God. And so what, you know, the devil will always lie to you and say, you know, what you lose is so great. No, what you gain is so much greater than what you ever will lose. You gain Jesus, you gain Christ. And if you have Him, you have everything. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're gonna give an opportunity. We want you to stay and be a part and encourage. We have some people who are being baptized today. Amen. Amen. Come on, give it up. Give it up. I know all of heaven is rejoicing right now. And so we're going to give them an opportunity to get ready and give myself an opportunity to get ready as well. And we just want you guys really to examine your hearts during this time and during this season. And to really ask yourself, how can I live a Christ-glorifying life? Amen. My wife's going to talk to you a little bit about baptism as I go get ready. Amen.
Bow your head, please, and close your eyes. I thought as we, we'll take out the lights just for a second, but would you just spend some time with the Holy Spirit? You know, I was that person that would burn... I had those CDs. And I think this is just a good season for that. I've walked into the bookstore in town. And you know the predominant thing used to be good, clean, and wholesome? There used to be this like massive Christian section. I don't know if you've been into the bookstore in town. I just forgot the name of it, the used one. Second and Charles. And you know the saddest thing to me is it's witchcraft, Wiccan, demonic, goblins, and that's the predominant thing. Do you know that this past, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago that there in Britain they are starting a school and they will start handing out degrees in demonic, witchcraft, a degree. Like you could actually go and get a degree in this. And I think the world is getting darker and darker, but for us, we're supposed to shine lighter and lighter. And maybe the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you and said, you know what? You need to get rid of that thing. I'll never forget when God asked me to get rid of my music. I was listening to music and I was listening to that song. I think, I don't even know who wrote it, Garth Brooks. And he said, I got friends in low places where the beer drowns, something in the whiskey chases. And I got so offended. They were singing that right after this Christian conference. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, yeah, but Tara, you sing that all the time. And He said, I need you to give it up. And I remember, like Ted, just going and getting my CD and saying, okay, God, following you is greater. This past couple weeks ago, Jackie Hill Perry, one of my favorite authors and preachers, she said, you know what? I was asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can I do to be closer to you? And she said that the Holy Spirit said, give up Beyonce. And she was like, I can't give it up, Lord. I can't give it up. And he said, but if you want to be close to me, what she's singing is nothing like me. And I just think right now there's some things that we need to give up. There's some people that are getting ready to get baptized. And what baptism is simply saying, I'm getting rid of my old ways. It's an outward sign of saying what Jesus has done. And I'm coming into new life. I'm coming in and I'm celebrating that. But before we do that this morning, with you and the Holy Spirit, would you just ask the Lord, what's one thing, Lord? One thing that doesn't honor you? Maybe it's binge watching Netflix. Can I get a hallelujah? Maybe it's what you scroll through. And sometimes those things might not even be bad, but sometimes those things are a distraction. And guys, we need some people that are in love with Jesus and that are close to Jesus, that have the power of Christ living on the inside of them. So I'm gonna just give you a second and say, Holy Spirit, what's that one thing? Maybe it is going home today and getting rid of the alcohol in your house. Maybe one time I had a friend and she was smoking weed and she went and burned it all. I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend that, but I mean, just get rid of it, right? He's greater. He's greater. He's better. Come on, would you just say yes to the Lord? God, we just say, Lord, you've already spoken to us. God, we've already heard your voice this morning. And God, whatever that is, God, maybe that's some darkness that we've allowed in our lives. God, maybe that's the music that we listen to, the things that we watch. God, maybe it is an addiction. God, we want to be new. We want to be constantly being made new. And so, God, we just give up those things that you have convicted us by this morning. God, those things that don't have place in our house because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, so I just pray that you would help us. God, maybe it's just a thing that's not even bad, but it just leads another believer in the wrong direction. And God, so we even give up those things this morning that don't honor you, that don't look like Jesus. And Lord God, we ask, God, as we celebrate these baptisms, God, that you will be with these, God, these adults, these students, these children, God, and that you will just be over them and bless them and protect them. God, help them to walk brand new, to pick up their cross daily and to follow Jesus. And the people of God said amen. And amen. I think I heard them. All right, we're going to throw on some lights. If you're getting baptized this morning, would you just come this way? Guys, we want to honor this time. And yeah, we got you right here. Need to see. We just want to honor these people. We just believe in baptism. Can you say amen? Amen. And if you've never been baptized and you want to get baptized, just join in the line. Here we go.
I trust in God. Send
applause for Kimberly and then her son Wallace. can't see. Our teens, Chris Nora, and one of our kids way back in the day.
Sing God.
Guys, we love you. Have a wonderful day. We're going to see you at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Grab, there's even flyers. There's the address there. I think it's on Southbound Mandalay Road, 4014 Southbound Mandalay. Come early. Come play. Enjoy the hayride, the sack races, and everything else. We love you. See you soon.
I saw the Lord, there is a, I saw the Lord, there is a, I saw the Lord, there is a, that's why I trust you, that's why I trust in God, Savior of the world, never. I trust in God, my Savior, the one never fails. He will never my heart, your home.
If I had a dollar for every time they say God wasn't gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wasn't gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Say God wasn't gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wasn't gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire.
So good.
God is good.